Sorry, everyone. That'll be my fault. Let's try that again.
Everyone awake? Oh, still loud. Okay. All right. Am I not a bit loud? Okay. Is now better? Is now more usual? Okay, good. So, good evening. Then, last week we spoke about a number of things. The first subject we looked at, the main subject we looked at, was in that whatever we do, our motivation is crucial. Our motivation is what determines the outcome of whatever it is that we do. So therefore, our motivation is crucial. And that was the main part of what we looked at last week. And then we also looked at how in the morning when we wake up, then we should take some, at least a few minutes, if not a bit longer, to establish a motivation for the day. And then in the evening, we should try to set aside some time to review our day and see how we did against the motivation or the plan that we made for the day, how we did against that. And where we lived up to our expectations for ourselves, we should rejoice in what we did. And where we had difficulty in fulfilling the goals that we had set for ourselves, then we should commit to try and fulfill them the next day. And all faults that we did in the day, we should confess them and engage in purification practice. So that's what we looked at last week. And then in addition to that, we also briefly spoke about how we should try and accumulate virtue as whenever we get the opportunity, and try and accumulate as much virtue as we can. So tonight we're going to continue the presentation in the text. We're near the top of page 128, and we're going to start with, so we're continuing with this presentation of karma through the presentation of stories. So we'll start with a story of a Brahmin called Ravi. So this Brahmin called Ravi, he was engaged in a close examination of his mind. So he was keeping a close eye on his mind, so to speak. And whenever his mind was going in the direction of non-virtue, then he would take note of that. And when his mind was going in the direction of virtue, he would take note of that. And so as to keep an account over how he was doing over the day, then he would use colored pebbles, and he would make a pile of he'd add a black pebble to the pile of black pebbles each time his mind went in a non-virtuous direction. And when his mind was wholesome, then he would take a white colored pebble and add it to that appropriate pile.
And Kabo Nabo Nizibarosha, then a Kabo Mama, then a Lucian, then a got Yapo Yamle Yawale, then a Kabo Chasan Kabo Chagores, Lucian Horongi Semia, and a kind of chick who was a bit in a Yamlin Jenna, then a Lucian that Semia Yawa Nabo Mala, the same dual Yawa Mamakio, Chesan Dikio, that then he can put in a gacha, gacha, guy on the dinner, Kabo Mama to Kores, then a Doja and Lucian and Yamlin and Goresia.
When he started out, when he came to the end of his very first day, he noticed he only had a pile of black pebbles. And so immediately regret arose in his mind because clearly this wasn't good enough. So he took this as motivation to continue with his practice and make sure that he now not only guarded his mind, but he really turned it in a direction towards virtue. So he persevered like this, and then slowly after some days, the white pile started to be formed, and then after some more days this white pile of pebbles started to grow, and then slowly the black pile of pebbles, this started to diminish. And after a while of watching his mind and making these two piles, and then in the evening generating regret for whichever non-virtuous thoughts he had, and rejoicing and setting determination in the virtuous thoughts, his the way of thinking started to change, and he started the pile of white pebbles started to grow and multiply.
So
this story about the Brahman Ravi, he clearly is someone who put great efforts into observing his mind and then to transforming his mind. Now if we look at our own situation, we tend to wake up in the morning and immediately our mind becomes dominated about the activities that lie ahead for that day. We immediately think about, I have all these things to do, and this morning I need to get out of the house very quickly because I need to get to work, etc. So you have all the day's activities, or your thoughts are dominated by the day's activities. And then in the evening, we get home and we need to do what we need to do at home, cook food and the like. And then when it comes to going to bed, by then we're exhausted and we just fall down and go to sleep. So we don't really have this habit of waking up in the morning and taking care of our mind, and in the evening reviewing our day and seeing how we performed. So this is a habit we don't really have.
If
we take a moment and we think about those who either don't know about the Dharma or don't accept the Dharma, then their way of behavior is that they may well purposefully engage in actions that we consider negative and that will definitely lead to negative results, such as illegal activity or hunting, fishing and the like. And they not understanding about causality, will rejoice in what they've done. So if they review the successes of the day and they think about the benefit they got from the lies they told or from the animals that they killed and the like, they will actually rejoice in this kind of negativity because they don't know about the Dharma and they haven't come to understand or accept the law of cause and effect.
Dene le junde yore sade dene gene digwa yore dijene gyao yore sade namdaro si ke singyu sing singore ne ke lingor wa dana so dijene gyao yore dijene digwa yore sa na anjing an ke lingore ma de de rakwa ro da ji chamo cham ma sin na rakwa rakwa ro ji singir wa ze singore de ane an zuge shu ben ya la che ji ge ya la ji ni ni me gon kar kar che me da ane gon da
ne ge ni mo ga de che sha sen be sam lo ko ma ta ji sha ku ge ma dang ge ma ro da ko ne di ta ma ta ma ne nyam in ke so ko da su de da chu ge ne ya la de ni me gon ga de che ge be sam dang ge ma ro da di ba yung de ge wa yung de di be sam ne ju de ge be sam ne ji ge be sam ge sam lo ko dang ge ma ro da da gon da ni de da ni ya di so du su ni ya le son sam ni de ma do ne gon da la ne di ri ni me gon le ya ne me sam lo ge wa ge be chu la sam lo ga de ma ho ra sha So that there was a situation of those who don't know about the Dharma or don't accept the Dharma. So for us, the situation is, at least on an intellectual level, is very different. Because we've heard about the law of cause and effect, we know what actions we should be engaging in and which actions we should avoid, because we understand what a virtuous action entails and what a negative action is. So we have this understanding. We know what to adopt and what to abandon. So we understand this to a coarse degree, a rough degree. However, well, I can't really talk for everyone here, but certainly for myself, when it comes to the end of the day, I'm tired, I just go to sleep. I don't take time and review my day. I'm one who just falls into bed and goes to sleep.
ཁྱི ཕྱད མི ཁྱི Jesang Ningu the Disamlo the Mayama the Kartiva Relana, Jambada Shijin eating Gomada. Jambada Shijin Yidi, Matin Bainza, and Karchena, and the Kora Rawar of Jesia, Jenny Shashu. So then Jambada Shijin Yidi, Matin Badi, Gengar Ligorosanam, Deji Koala, that Koyo Ningu Minus and Koala, Ningu Meba Tabing is some of Chukchim Meba Chita, the Koala Tab. ཁོ་ལ་ཐ་བོ་དོ་སེབེ་ཐ་བོ་དོ་ཉི་གི་སམ་ལོ་དི་པེ་ཤུག་ཆེན་མོ་མེ་བེ་ཅེན་གི་འཇམ་པ་དང་ཤེ་ཅིན་ཡི་དེན་ཏུ་ལོ་མ་རེ་ད་འཇམ་པ་དང་ཤེ་ཅིན་མ་དེན་པ་ད་ཁ་ཡ་སམ་ལོ་ཁོ་ན་ཁ་རེ་ཅིན་ན་རང་བ་ཤ་དེ་ནི་གོ་ད་ཡེན་ན་ཅི་རོ་ཅེན་མ་ཅེབ་ཤེ་ན་ད་ཤ་ཤ་ཁོ་རེ་དེ་ཅི་མི་ད་ཁན་སེ་ཡ་དི་གི་ད་མི་ད་ཁན་ཁོ་ར 어디 누가 코우도 해서 니디게 와고 제마시 제마데 내 시진기 뒤에 삼로 나라 누가 코우도 민의 드심 주치지 잼바데 시진이 뒤에 뒤에 경계는 즉 제한데 나고샤 되네고 개화 때문에 까보샤 고 잼바데 리거와 지나다디 까보 용무디 나고 용무도 당하는 시진 들어와 니 이거 지난때 마저 고다려야 다가제 망아도 뒤에게 통로마서는 Kesan dini mayo yuendi koala yuende lo shukchimoda taba donyeji samlo shukchimoda ni mebe genji da jamba da shini mede me kimzen di chagoda
the fault then of not engaged in not following this advice that we received last week again about setting a motivation, re-establishing that throughout the day and reviewing in the evening, rejoicing and purifying and the like. The fault of not doing this is that we don't think about the faults of samsara. We don't think about how samsara has no essence to it at all. And not thinking about the faults of samsara, the wish to be liberated from samsara cannot arise, because if we haven't seen the faults of something, we're not going to be have a sincere wish to be free of such a situation. So this is the fault of not engaging in such a practice. And then furthermore, the two crucial minds of mindfulness and introspection will be minds that we aren't utilizing. And the fault of not utilizing these minds is that if we're not relying on mindfulness, we're not holding onto a virtuous motivation. And if we're not using introspection, we're not investigating our activities, in other words, our mental process as we're speaking and doing things, etc. We're not keeping a close eye on our mind and seeing which direction our mind is going in. And this is because we're not utilizing these minds of mindfulness and introspection. And we're not utilizing them because we're not thinking about the faults of samsara, and we haven't given rise to this wish for liberation. And that hasn't come because we're not engaging in this establishing of a clear motivation, sustaining it throughout the day, and then reviewing and purifying and rejoicing at the end of the day. So this is the difference between my own situation here and that of Ravi, who we see here in the example. Because the crucial thing he was doing is he was utilizing these two minds of mindfulness and introspection. So he was holding on to his motivation, and he was examining his mind to see whether his mind was going in the direction of the motivation that he had set or not. And he was taking clear note of how often he was thinking or acting or speaking in accordance with his goals, and when he was acting against that. And he kept a clear tally of that. So with this reviewing process at the end of the day, in conjunction with the being aware during the day and having a motivation in the beginning, he was able to purify his mind, re-establish his motivation, and in this way he was able to progress quickly. So hearing that the Geshe here, that I'm not engaging in this kind of activity, you may well have the thought that, oh, next time I'm not coming here.
Digi Tony, Shimju, Chasing, Asheva, Nashindi, and Tata Redimindu, Shimju, that's just a few in by Charles, the Sheva Nashi, Charles, the Rachel, Jumban, the Depa, Dick Magaia, Charles, Yaki, Summer Yaki, Tana, and then Tarajili, Nishi, Donadi, Titere, Charles, Yi, Nadi, go at the Dutur, and I didn't Marina, Charles, the Nijun, Les, and Motor, Charles, you get a Jun, Les, and you get a Motor, Jun, Jan.
So I personally have experience of this kind of faulty behavior, or this I have experience of the results of not engaging in setting a motivation, examining the mind throughout the day to make sure that that motivation, one is acting in accordance with it, and reviewing it. So I have experience of the faults that come from not acting in such a way. So I share this with you because it's important that we all look at ourselves and we are honest and open about this. And now I ask you to do the same. And you've heard this this teaching now on causality. And you should take this and look at yourselves and see, so am I acting in accordance with this advice or not? And if you see that this, from your own investigation, you see that this is advice that one should implement, then do so, and then see from your own experience what changes come about. And in this way, you'll know whether this advice is appropriate or not. So here I'll tell a story about the area that I'm from in North India. So there's a family, and they have a little shop. And the wife works in the shop, so she's the businesswoman there. And her husband is a policeman, so he's mainly out all day. And sometimes when he has a day off from work, he will go through the shop, and he will see things that are out of date. And he'll say to his wife, "No, you shouldn't be selling this because the produce has reached its expiry date. So you shouldn't be selling this." And whereas the wife, she doesn't think like this. She just wants to sell everything and make a profit. Then the wife's mother also sometimes helps in the shop. And so she's very religious and kind-hearted. And she thinks that their shop, her daughter's shop, is actually a little bit expensive. And when people come there to buy things, if she knows that it's cheaper elsewhere, she'll say, no, don't buy it from us. Rather go to that shop. It's a little bit cheaper over there. And again, the wife, she doesn't think like this. She just wants to make a profit. She doesn't think in any detail at all. So here, in this story, the husband and the grandmother, they are like this mind of introspection that is looking at the situation and thinking how things can be done well. Whereas the wife, she's not using this kind of mind at all. Her view is just on the profit.
地方嘛，我就叫我们的地方嘛，我啥有的，实际上，咱大爹，咱都那地方啥玩意呢？那这个，咱都修车去住的，现在咱城堡咱新几年电建的，那地方的怕穷穷几年，但是穷穷一年是，你这些那叫民族生活，咱们当地就要嘛的，但改为如穷穷一年的住不过的，是这样，你主要了，城堡咱新几年的也好点过的，城堡新几年的也好过的，是你送过了。
So moving on here, these minds of mindfulness and introspection have a number of benefits. So if we rely on them well, we will be aware of not only of the our behavior now, but we'll recall that we have accumulated a tremendous amount of non-virtues from the past. But through utilizing these minds of mindfulness and introspection, we will avoid accumulating new non-virtues, and we will engage in the acts of purification. We'll want to, because of this awareness of the accumulation of non-virtues from the past. Furthermore, we'll be aware of the opportunities that present themselves where we can engage in virtue. And even when there are small opportunities for the engagement of virtue, because of the mindfulness holding our goal in mind, and introspection being aware that we are holding the goal in mind, we'll take this opportunity and we will accumulate virtue even from these many small opportunities that come our way, as well as ensuring we don't accumulate new non-virtue. When you think about the reality of all our situations, we've accumulated not only a lot of non-virtue in this one life, but we have in our previous life, and not just that previous one, but since beginning this time. So the amount of negativities that we have accumulated really is limitless. But knowing this, one must guard against the thought that thinks, well, I've accumulated so many negativities, why not one more? Because the problem, of course, is as we continue to accumulate negativities, the strength of what we've accumulated grows, and therefore the ripening results in future lives will be that much stronger. So we've already accumulated so many causes for rebirth in the lower realms that we must ensure that we don't add to this accumulation already. And rather, we must turn towards the accumulation of virtue, because it's through engaging in the accumulation of virtue that we will be able to also purify the previously accumulated non-virtue. And now we have, of course, in the past not only accumulated non-virtue, but virtue as well. So now if we make this commitment to engage only in the accumulation of virtue, then the virtue that we have accumulated is going to strengthen and will ripen in greater results in the future as well as serving to purify the negativities that we have accumulated. And we could start to see that if we engage now just in the accumulation of virtue, or rather let's put it this way, and the way we can see this working is through committing to only engage in the accumulation of virtue, we will still encounter problems, we'll still suffer. We will not just be happy from this moment forth. But what we will be doing is, and it's this huge store of previous negativities will now start to ripen in this life and ripen in a way that is much weaker because of the power of the virtue. So in other words, powerful previously accumulated non-virtues that would lead to a rebirth in the lower realms in the future, instead of it ripening as a lower realm rebirth in the future, it will ripen in this life in a much milder way, so that karmic seed will be experienced, but its full strength will be experienced, but that full strength will be much weaker because of us engaging in virtue.
That Janju Sim Gombu Gawa Shu Chimbo didn't ninja jam ninja gombi Gawa the Nugo Chu Chimbo Chawaza, Gawa Mamegi, the Niggi Duan, Gawa Chim, Nyoyagi Duan, that they are ninja, and Mava Chago, the Esere.
It's a quotation here in the middle of page 128 from the Diamond Cutter Sutra. So I'll just read it quickly for those who don't have the text. Bodhisattvas practicing transcendent wisdom will be tormented. Indeed, they will be greatly tormented by past actions that would have brought suffering in future lives, but have ripened in this life instead. So what the Buddha is saying here, this is the, maybe you could say the proof of what has just been presented above. That here, so bodhisattvas, as well as ordinary beings, so not only bodhisattvas, also ordinary beings, if when they're engaging in virtue, they will still encounter obstacles and suffering. So just through only engaging in virtue, it's not that one doesn't encounter sufferings. So this is because due to the power of the virtue, such as meditating on love and compassion and the like, then previously accumulated negative karma, instead of being experienced in a very powerful way in a future life, will be partially purified through this virtue, and then completely purified through it ripening and being experienced. So to put it another way, a negative experience, a negative seed that would have been experienced in a very through a great suffering result, will now be experienced through a far lesser suffering result. Furthermore, the opposite also happens. So we possibly know of people, or we see people who we see that they engage in a lot of non-virtue. They maybe are good and not very nice people, but yet they seem quite lucky, or things go their way, or they have very good conditions in their life. And so this is like when good things happen to bad people, as opposed to the previous explanation, which was when bad things happen to good people. However, so in this case, when people who are engaging predominantly in negative acts, but things seem to go quite well with them, they're healthy and they're wealthy and they seem to have a good circle of friends around them, etc. The reason for the good in their life is because of the virtue that they accumulated in the past and is now ripening in this life. However, the non-virtue that they are accumulating now, this is still to be experienced, and this will be experienced in the future. So this is actually the same situation, just the opposite, for people who are engaging in virtue now, but are encountering a lot of difficulties. And then there's a story given in the text here from India in ancient times. I don't know if it really happened, but I'll read it out anyway, because it shows how what happens in this life, or the experiences of this life have come from, that are recounted in the story, have come from a previous life. So in a land called Aparantaka, it rained for 7 days, there was rain of precious stones, and then for 7 days it rained clothes, and for seven more days there was a rain of grain, and in the end there was a rain of earth, and that crushed everyone to death. So these here are karmic results that came about in this life, but have been accumulated in previous lives.
Some of the time, and
what we've just had presented here, what's presented in the text in the, over these few paragraphs, is something that's really important, because we do see this in our lives, where good people experience a lot of difficulties, and people that aren't as good, everything seems to go well for them, despite the overtly negative acts they may be engaging in. So if we don't understand this well, we may well come to doubt the law of karma, and we may give up on the law of karma and think, oh, this can't be correct, it must be mistaken, because how can so many good things happen to such a person, or this very good person, how come they're just meeting so many problems? So it's important that we come to understand this well, because we need to bear in mind that the karma we are accumulating now is going to be experienced in future lives, not necessarily in this life. And likewise, what we are experiencing in this life, these are results from actions that we accumulated in our past, almost always actions from past lives. So this is something that's important that we understand, otherwise we may make the big mistake of turning away from the law of cause and effect, or abandoning the law of cause and effect. Then at the top of page 129, there's a quote from Guru Rinpoche. So can I just read the first line? Great king, in this secret Vajrayana of mine, the view is the most important thing. So here a view refers to the view of reality or of emptiness. So this is the most important thing, is what he's saying here. But then Guru Rinpoche goes on to explain that what we need to be very aware of is that whilst the view is can be said to be the most important thing, it doesn't mean we should abandon activity or behavior. So in other words, if one is meditating on emptiness, one may think, oh, I'm meditating on the supreme view, I'm doing the highest form of practice. That it would be a mistake. In conjunction to meditating on emptiness, one needs to engage in meditation on love and compassion, practices such as generosity and the like, and acting in accordance with the law of causality. Just knowing very well the law of knowing very well the view of emptiness doesn't free one from the law of causality. Then the opposite is also the case. If one is engaging in practices, expansive practices, coming from motivated by love and compassion and the like, one shouldn't be content with that and thinking that this alone is enough. In conjunction, one needs the view. One needs to come to an understanding of emptiness. One needs to study and meditate on emptiness. So in brief, one needs to have both a correct view of emptiness and engage in meditation and practices motivated by love and compassion, and all of it in accordance with the law of cause and effect.
Mm. 지게 디고 마 조명이 님보 디 동이 디게 따와 고마나 디고 마 좀 두고래 시겨로 와 내가 야 파담발에 두고 가래 나 동이 또 사바에는 디고 전에 나 누구 말 와 누구를 누구 말했어 야 쉬거래 제가 니네 파담배 그 가르쳐 와서는 다 동이 또 사나 또 한 디기 디베 지기 말했어 동이 저런게 디와데 동이 또네 디베 전에 누구를 누구 말했어야 돼 디와디 아니 가서는 동료도 와서 디고 지 말와 디고 제나 아니 누구리 누구 말선 디고 제나도 누구로 와 되네 디고 지 말해스 가서 동이 또나 동이 또 배가지 휴체어도나 니제기 샘젠레 잡아 잡아 인지리 휴체용 거래 다 되니기 제가 되니 인자 아니 디 동이 또 봐서 아니 디고 지 말해스
Then there's something here about a Lama called Padampa Sangye. So he was asked, we have this here on the page, once we have realized emptiness, does it still harm us to commit negative acts? So as he goes on then to explain in his answer, that when once someone who has realized emptiness, if they were to engage in negativities, yes, they would experience the suffering results that come from that. However, someone who has when one realizes emptiness, one's compassion grows with that. So the realization of emptiness leads to one's compassion strengthening. So with these two minds, the wisdom understanding emptiness, as well as now powerful compassion, one actually is not going to engage in negativities. However, if one were to, one would still incur negative karma and experience suffering results. But one actually wouldn't engage in negativities.
So
brief, the meaning of what we've been looking at here on this page is that the basis for our Dharma practice is the understanding of the law of cause and effect, so that all our practices are in accordance with the law of cause and effect. Because if we just think, I'm engaging in powerful practices relating to love and compassion or to the wisdom realizing emptiness, and we don't ensure that our practice is based on the understanding of the law of cause and effect and in accordance with it, then it's not going to have much power, and we're going to, and it's going to be mistaken. Now we come to a story about Milarepa. So he was quite an exceptional being. And one day he was asked by his students, but haven't you, that you are so exceptional compared to anyone else. Surely you must be a Buddha or an emanation of a Buddha or a great Bodhisattva. So Marepa replied and said, this really is a mistake to think like this.
Sangagi, 다들아 아니 지게 갈아가면 차와래 지다 되니기 이제 되니기 갈아가면 차와래 자 되니기 가서 갈아가면 차지 되니기다 이나 다 사지 주바다 전시 주바 저울지 뭐 주바 말해 돼 혼자 나신 연대되는 알려서 딜레바데 가르쳤으나 네베 우주 잡 깔레 잡지 냠는 제바이 이 냠는 제고야디 내가 가와 투버려나 만녀와 코와는 가서 지나 뼈사사를 삼지 만녀마 디부 친구 제와 뼈사사 삼비게 될 타르기 휴 친구 제와인자 안 되는 진행아 연된도 차와레스 지나 산제다 전지스미 주버 소지 영화레스레
The Miller Rupa went on to explain why this understanding of his students was so mistaken. So he recounted about how when he was younger, he accumulated tremendous negativities through the use of black magic and controlling the elements, such as through killing people through hail and the like. So he had accumulated tremendous amounts of non-virtue when he was younger, and this certainly isn't the activity of a holy being. And when he came to see the faults of what he did, he went and made requests to a teacher, to his teacher, to engage in the study of Tantra. And then he made tremendous effort and went through innumerable hardships so as to practice Tantra diligently. And because of the profundity and the power of the tantric path, and as well as the him making effort from the very depths of his being, that he was able to actually achieve amazing qualities in his mind, qualities that he himself then compared to those of the Buddhas and the great bodhisattvas. And so he then explained to his students that he has attained this because of the power of Tantra, but not only the power of Tantra, it was due to the effort he put into his practice. It wasn't just ordinary efforts, but it was really from the depths of his being he made tremendous effort. And then he went on to explain that the reason he made such great efforts is because he had come to understand the law of causality. He understood very clearly that due to the negativities that he had accumulated, he would undoubtedly be reborn in the lower realms. And understanding the tremendous suffering that was waiting for him, he then committed wholeheartedly to practice the Dharma. And it's through that wholehearted commitment that he practiced with such diligence and such power, and was thereby able to attain these results that he himself likened to those of Buddhas and great bodhisattvas.
Milarepa
went on to say, so the reason that you, my students, do not have qualities like I do, is because you are not practicing with the same diligence and the same heartfelt energy and commitment that I practice with. And the reason that you are not practicing in that way is not because you haven't been taught what to do, but because you haven't yet come to fully accept the law of causality. And if you now go away and you think about the law of karma, and you come to accept it and gain certainty in your mind about it, so that you then engage and practice wholeheartedly, you will definitely and undoubtedly attain results the same as mine, or results equaling my own.
Lay 다지 지난 충주지나 지금에 산비게 담자샤라 내 개회 되고 충주나 개와 첨부 전하다 인대이 다 충주를 맞으면 지기나 산비게 삼노 직 담자지 두시네 제후 고래 제가 되네 인자 디송도아 되네 지던 제후 고래 시대 안 되네 인자 디 가르송샤 세나 딜이야 안 쇼가야 야랑 요드네 다 쥐셈제 누르지나 코 삼당자 낭지람사 다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다다 sempiki, and damja shaya lang. On dusine, and some tango rejele.
So, hearing this, then, what should we do? Well, here it should be very clear to us the importance of thinking about what we've been studying here in this chapter on causality. So we need to be very clear about the results that will come from negative actions. And we need to come to this understanding or this realization in a way that it changes our mind, it changes the way we think. Because if we don't come to accept the law of causality in a profound manner, in other words, in a way that changes how we think, then we'll continue to engage in non-virtuous activities, not necessarily great ones, but small ones too. We may deceive others, we may tell lies, or we may do illegal activities and the like. And this all comes from whatever negativities we engage in, comes from not wholeheartedly accepting the law of causality. And if we do accept this law, the law of causality, we will see a change in our way of thinking. We will not want to engage in even a slight non-virtuous act, because we will not want to experience the result of that. And when we have the opportunity to engage in virtue, even if it's something small, we will now see that opportunity as a significant opportunity, because we'll know that even from such an act before we have normally just ignored, we know from such an act, happiness will come. From virtue, happiness will come. So this will show that we have made a heartfelt commitment to engaging in virtue and turning away from non-virtue due to our understanding of the law of causality. So that's where we need to come to. Then the text goes on to present here in the middle of page 130, how, and this is similar to what we've covered a number of times, about how practical ways we need to change our behavior and take care of our mind. So it says here that how in the morning when we wake up we should not just jump out of bed like a cow or a sheep, but we should wake up and we should sit up in our bed, and we should take a few minutes, and we should, first of all, because we've just woken up, we can reflect on our dreams. And now, hopefully, we're giving rise to this understanding of turning away from even the slightest non-virtue and accumulating even the slightest virtue. Then, with this understanding, we wake up and immediately purify any non-virtuous dreams that we had, and we should rejoice in the virtuous dreams that we've had. So this is an illustration of talking about slight virtue and slight non-virtue. And then, still while sitting in our bed, we should then establish our motivation for the day. And in particular, we should make the commitment to not engaging in any non-virtue at all, and to accumulating virtue at every opportunity. Now we spoke about how we should wake up in the morning, and then at the end of the day, before going to sleep at night, we should take some time and review our day's activities, and we should look at the motivation that we had set in the morning and how we fulfilled that during the day. And wherever we didn't manage to fulfill the commitment that we had generated in the morning, we should engage in purification and make the commitment to not engage in such negative acts again. So again, whether small or middling size, that doesn't make a difference. We should be turning away from non-virtue completely. So we should need to purify and commit not to engage in such non-virtue again. And then furthermore, where we've seen that we have acted in accordance with the motivation we set, we should rejoice in that. And then lastly, thirdly, the virtue that we have now accumulated throughout this day, we need to dedicate. And we should dedicate it in particular for the happiness of all sentient beings, and that we may lead all sentient beings to the full, the state of full and complete enlightenment.
제례 공조다 되는 게나 대시 디버 좀 두고 말 하고래. 세상 무가나 죄샤바지 말이야. 당 우가 죄면은 소소냐 되는 구마 죄를 내가 여러 봐. 세상 뭐 맞접 지개와요나 공조 기에나 개와지 좀 해야 내가 여러. 중국으로 와. 현재도 뭐 하자고 되지. 다 인지 미지 됐음 고 참고 되지.
Now, can I just describe something that's here in the text? And oh, they have just found us. So now, the third paragraph from the top in page 130, it talks here about the three supreme methods. So this is referring to something we covered a while ago in the text. So it's saying whatever virtue we accumulated, big or small, or whatever virtue we accumulate, whether large or small, we should do in accordance with these the three supreme methods. So the first amongst them is we should establish a motivation. So we spoke about this already, and the motivation one establishes first of all in the morning when we've just woken up and we're sitting on our bed. And here in this text, in this context of this text, we're talking about the great scope. So the motivation would be in accordance with bodhicitta. And so we establish this motivation that whatever I do today may lead to all sentient beings being freed from all forms of suffering, no matter how slight, and leading all sentient beings to the state of lasting happiness, the state of Buddhahood. So that's the motivation that we would set in the morning. But moreover, that motivation we should re-establish throughout the day. We should actually try and establish it before every activity during the day that we engage in, so that whatever activity we're engaging in has this first the supreme methods, has the first supreme method directly associated with that activity. So that's the first one, that's motivation. Then the second is to do the activity. So whatever activity we do in the day, this would then count as the second one. But to really make it part of, to make it a supreme activity, to join it with the supreme method, we should bear in mind emptiness. So whatever we are doing, whether we're speaking, whether we're doing an activity, etc., we should hold our understanding of emptiness in mind, that whatever we're experiencing, it is not truly existent. The way it appears and the way it exists are not in accordance. So what is appearing to me now is not, or the way that it's appearing to me now, this is not how it exists in reality. So in other words, whatever the second supreme method is, whatever activity, whether verbal, physical, or mental, we should have do this in mind with emptiness. And then thirdly, the third supreme method is we should dedicate at the end of the day. So here, as we've just said, we should dedicate that all sentient beings as quickly as possible attain the state of enlightenment. And not just may they attain the state of enlightenment, that I may fulfill this objective that I've set for myself to lead all sentient beings to enlightenment. And as part of that, may all sentient beings immediately only experience happiness. And may all those beings who are experiencing difficulty in the world, may their difficulty be resolved, and may they just experience happiness. So the reason we need to engage in this third method, this third supreme method, is it's similar to if you have some money, you should put it in the bank rather than just under your mattress. And that's so that it's in the bank, it's safe. And similarly, if we dedicate our merit well, then it is safe from going to waste and will give rise to the result that we wish for. So these are the three supreme methods: motivation, engaging in the activity with an understanding of emptiness, and dedicating.
Dibadi ke tenche tel, njoba ke gore, 아니 친진이 지금 예선비 담자샤 켈린지 오래지 나 켈린지네 되네 된 개발전 안 된 개발전다 산지기 구 되네기나다 아니 자주 셈나 되네기 삼야단 다자네 소식이 계주 강주 바네 자주 셈 콤바이나다 돈이 콤바이나다 메니사바나 두 제베이나 디바샤이 되네 제바나 나르 디바사샤바디기 도비 탑시 약해 디레스 지산지 로도 시부 냠수 람목서 되네기 링고레스
So here we now at the top of page 131, and here it refers to these four thoughts that turn your mind away from samsara. So here we should understand this as to, because now we're in its context of the law of causality. So earlier in this chapter we spoke about the ten non-virtuous acts. So we are aware of these physical, verbal, mental and non-virtues that we have all accumulated in this life and in our previous lives. So here we should then engage in purification practice through the four opponent powers. So in the context we have here, these four thoughts that turn the mind away from samsara refer to the four opponent powers. Here, and then again in brief, is firstly we should recall the non-virtues that we've committed and be aware that we haven't committed them just the one or two times that we can recall now, but we have many times in this life and throughout previous lives, and generate a mind of regret for these acts that we've done with an understanding of the karmic ripening results that will definitely follow if we don't purify. So being aware of the suffering result that will follow, regret will naturally arise in our mind. And this is the most important antidote, this power of regret, because it gives strength to the others. And then we, now having generated powerful regret, we make the commitment that this way of behaving is something I will now refrain from. It doesn't reflect the person I want to become. I will refrain from acting in such a way. And then thirdly, the third opponent power is we turn our mind towards our objects of refuge with commitment to training in their teachings, following their example, and becoming like them, and then generate the mind of bodhicitta. And that then will be the third opponent power. And then fourthly, we engage in the power of the antidote. And that can be whatever virtuous practice that that we feel an affiliation to, whether it's a recitation of mantra, whether it's meditating on love, compassion, or emptiness, or impermanence, or doing prostrations, whatever virtuous activity that we feel an affinity to. So these are the four opponent powers, and they are what are referred to here as by as practicing the four thoughts that turn the mind from samsara. Do
you know?
Mm-hmm.
jīn chīnāng kī bāshī yuñā lō khuñ tū sūng kūrī, sūng kūrī ēs kūrī, sūng kūrī, zāng ngā tū kī tēnī kī khuñ tū dhuho chīn lē chī kīrī ēs, chīnāng tēnī kī chē pāna ngā tū samlō tī kī wī chō lā yā rī nā yā rū kūrī, nī kī wā chī mā nā kī wā yā nā yā rī ngī rī, nī zā yā rī yā rū kūrī, nī zā jīn chīnāng kī bāshī tī kī nā sūma kī sūng kūrī ēs, chīnā tēnī yī zā nī kī tī nā tēnī,
So what we've just heard here now with these three supreme methods and the four thoughts that turn the mind from samsara, these are really important to hold in mind and to practice. So just to briefly remind us of them, we need to set our motivation in a powerful manner in the morning, re-establish it throughout the day, especially before we engage in an activity or we speak to someone, etc. And then whatever activity we're engaging in, we need to hold in mind whatever understanding of emptiness we have, we need to hold that in mind. And then at the end of the day, we need to dedicate. So those are those three supreme methods. And then if we do that, in conjunction with purifying previously accumulated negativities through the use of the four opponent powers, then with these two streams of practice together, then our virtuous minds will undoubtedly grow and strengthen. And we will turn away from negativity and we will habitually engage in virtue. And if we do this, our way of thinking will improve, we'll be happier, and we will engage in virtue very easily, habitually. And doing this will lead to us making it so much less likely we will end up in a lower realm rebirth, and make it almost certain we'll be attain a higher realm rebirth. And moreover, not only will we attain a higher realm rebirth, but due to having established this mental habit of thinking in a virtuous manner, naturally thinking in a virtuous manner, then our future lives will continue to go well. And moreover, we will progress towards our goals of liberation and enlightenment. And then lastly, in addition to this, because our mind is now that much more virtuous and in accordance with the Dharma, then the Buddhas and the Dharma protectors and the like will be able to protect us and guide us so much more clearly. So all of these results will come if we now engage in these practices of the three supreme methods, and as well as engaging in the four opponent powers.
Ore da dirin gi lobsen di gi lobden di da di kong du shuba na shin ta du tu si de nyam ne ne ga du ga ya ji yong gi ne ge ji tu ye gi ton ni ne ni ne ga tu si ne sam ta ya da ane je ma de le shi ye din ta di da di di yan je da le gyun je da di ne ko la ya shu sa wa yes ta ma wo je ma dun de je ma shi ye din ma an di thar ba se ya di ne ga ne shi re thar bi yun de ga ne shi re se ya ji da Tadinik Tabo Toyala Lam Yos Limbala, Nalama, Givishin, Dinsu, Dingu, Reset, Undusin, Dinma Shuache.
So now we've come to the end of this extensive presentation on karma. And so we've heard really about karma in quite some detail. And we've had a lot of practical advice about how to practice, how to develop our minds, how to purify our minds. So we've heard many key points here several times. So there's a lot here to reflect and to adopt. Then next time, we will start on page 133 with the benefits of liberation, and that's a very short presentation, and then go into the sixth chapter on how to follow a spiritual friend. So here at the end of the karma chapter, do we have some questions?
So it seems that this understanding of the law of cause and effect, the karma, is one of the foundations to progress in good practices.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that the way of rhythm is step by step.
Yes.
The study of law of cause and effect is one step in that, progressing on that path. Now it sounds as though it's quite an important cog within the wheel.
Yes. Yes. So the Lama is presented in a sequence, but I'm seeing that karma is a particularly important part of that sequence. So it's not necessarily that. Am I correct in understanding that all the different parts aren't equal in importance? This is a more important part. Okay. Dene lamaram jojo jami jo yare. Dene di rinpoche ni jojo chikne chikla changi yare. Dene mumma nge samra rinpo sama di gelche chung dang chikpa yensare. Yini link yunje ki nyamsa gochane me samla jojo nangla di os gelchen pore. Chama dang chikpa mare. Di ngoni chowo dang jwa pore kasi mangshi re. Di na to le kundo yapo hama kona deni shempa yapo chunda che toki mare je chang je ja di pelche mixo kong chempo de a gel chempo de ne samgi do
di ta ta kre pe di ta le kundo se di je chempo ro ame di to le kundo se wa je chempo cha wore.
So yes, amongst the various presentations, this is one within the Lamrim. This is one of the important ones.
Amen. Oh.